Limits, it's been a rough week for me. End of the week is yet young. Yesterday, I was called Eeyore by a fan. And now today, attacked by a hyena. Not a good start.
Yep.
Hyena.
Yep.
He took a lot of pleasure in laughing all the way through your comments.
Joe, are you okay? Do you need us to assist you with anything?
No, I'm good. I think
you
I'm
sure?
good. The Eeyore
I want to help
stuff,
you.
I did my Post-Gazette mailbag today. And the Eeyore interaction yesterday absolutely captured people's attention. I was asked, if you're supposed to be Eeyore, does that make Austin Rue? Do you remember Rue from the book and the show?
No, I don't.
No?
Mm.
Well, he was a character, I thought, and I said he's kind of like the Phil Garner of Winnie the Pooh. He's an underrated glue guy, Bob.
Yeah, scrap iron.
Someone says, I think you're more of a Tigger than an Eeyore, just saying, and I thanked him. And then somebody else said, what was your blood pressure when that guy called you Eeyore? can we play a little portion? Not Tony, the other guy, the Eeyore guy.
Yeah, here's Eeyore.
That's all. You do great. I love you. Just tigger it up.
Thanks, Eeyore.
Let's be Eeyore.
Bye. This guy calls a radio show and says, the Steelers haven't had a good offensive line in 33 years and calls me Eeyore? Unbelievable, Bob. You had an incredible situation of your own the other day at training camp when Mark Cabali's car was stuck, only it wasn't muddy. It looked like his car was just sitting on a patch of grass. So take us through that. Who helped?
Well,
why was it stuck?
That's a good question. I still don't know why it was stuck, but Mark Cabali, you know, had gotten up there a little bit later probably than normal, but there were so many people. It was a family day too, I think, for the team and its players and front office. So, you know, for some reason, it was really difficult to find a lot of parking spaces. They ran out of them. I myself parked in the grass as well. I didn't have any trouble getting out, but Mark's car was sitting sort of down in a divot.
Yeah.
Part of that grass. It wasn't muddy at all, but for whatever reason, he couldn't get it going. So he was spinning his wheels, literally and figuratively. And I felt bad at the time, but I immediately wanted to roll on this because I know Mark likes these
things. It was a great video. Yeah.
And it was just a case of, okay, what are you going to do? Do you have AAA? No. How are you going to get out of this mess if you can't get it? Well, I may have to get some help. And next thing you know, the cavalry was coming down the hill. All these kids, someone had radioed that Mark Cabali needs help get his car out of there.
It was very hard.
And they started pushing to no avail. They put mats. They tried to get mats underneath the
I hope
tires.
Cabali wasn't in the car. They never would have gotten the thing out.
No, but there was a young lady who was, you know, I was worried about this, honestly, because she was in the car and they were either going to go frontward, you know, backwards or frontwards, and you have to put in drive or reverse.
Yeah.
And I was going to make sure that everybody's on the same page, because if they're pushing, you know, from the front back and you have it in drive accidentally, that could be a dangerous situation if that car starts moving. Plus, there was a hill behind the
My
car.
God, this is way more complicated than I ever dreamed.
And I thought if she guns it and it does come out, she could go right over the hill. I was worried about her. So eventually, all of this manpower help came and he got the car out.
Well, thank God
without
everybody's
going,
safe.
Without going to AAA.
It looked like there were 25 people it took to push the car.
It did not move. It was really not responsive.
In the end, a heartwarming story, Bob, where everybody sort of displayed how much they love Mark Cabali. And he's a lovable little guy, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think people felt bad. I mean, that's not a good situation to be in. And otherwise, he would not have been able to get out.
Oh, I'm glad it ended well. All right, Limits. Our very own Jeff Hathorn had a one-on-one yesterday with our friend and yours, Artie Smith. Could we hear bits and pieces of that? Could you introduce the segments, perhaps?
Let's do it. So first, this is Jeff talking to Artie about some of the new players and how the start of camp has gone.
Well, there's a lot of things going on. Obviously, when you get, you know, new guys that haven't been here, and you evolve every year, you know, depending on the strength of your team. And it helps that the majority of our guys were here last year. You're further ahead in a lot of areas. In some respects, you know, just the language, getting to know you, you know, just the way you operate day to day, you know, how you meet, all that stuff. And then naturally, you know, there was new learning in the spring. And then when you get new players, obviously that we did, you know, that weren't here in the spring, you know, Aaron got there at minicamp, and then Jonu in the middle of the summer, DK, all these guys getting used to a new quarterback, there's a lot you're working on, you know, because you don't have a lot of time before week one. So you're pressing these guys. At the same time, you're trying to teach these young guys, the draft picks or guys that are new. You're challenging them to learn. So there's sometimes there's some growing pains, but you got to see progress, and we've seen progress. And then I was joking, training camp, there's always like ups and downs, you know, offense, defense, moving guys in and out of lineups. What's been fun about this group is we've got these guys are awesome.
There's been progress.
Bob, do you trust Artie Smith? Do you think he's a good offensive coordinator?
I thought so when he was with Tennessee, when he had Derrick Henry and they used the run game to just shove it down everybody's throat. He went to Atlanta, not so much. And they seem to have, you know, really inconsistent approaches in Atlanta. When he went out, he was the head coach, but he still had a big say in what was going on there. So, I mean, I think he knows a lot about football, whether or not that's going to turn. He loves tight ends. I don't think there's any question about that, and they're going to utilize their tight ends this year.
Then why didn't Kyle Pitts flourish in Atlanta?
That's a good question. I don't think they utilize him the right way, and I think that's what I'm talking about. There are inconsistencies in what they were trying to do and how it ended up actually happening.
I think Artie sounds like a great guy, and he knows a lot of football. I don't doubt that at all. I just doubt whether he's a good coordinator when Derrick Henry, when Michael Jordan's not in his backfield. And I'm still reeling from Omar Khan saying during the offseason back in February, I guess it was at the owners' meetings, that Arthur did a, quote, really good job last season. What team was Omar watching? I mean, other than the Steelers ranking 22nd in total offense, failing to score a first drive touchdown in any of their 18 games, going five straight games without getting more than 17 points for the first time since 1969, being the worst first down offense in the entire league based on yards per play, completely peeing away the game in Baltimore, the playoff game, with two first downs and 59 total yards, having the fourth worst red zone offense in the league, the fourth worst fourth down team in the league, stripping their quarterback of his ability to change plays at the line, and being one of the worst running teams in the league at 4.1 yards per rush. Oh, and just 16th in scoring offense. I guess Omar's right. He did a pretty good job, but I can't overlook those things. Can
no,
you?
And that was the problem. They had bigger expectations. Their run game was not nearly as good as they thought it would be with those two guys, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. I think there was a lot to be desired from that offense. And this year, with a whole new cast of characters, you would expect that to change a little bit, at least with a guy like Rodgers at quarterback. If he's healthy, he gives them something that they haven't had. A four-time NFL MVP who knows a lot about how to get to the line, make quick decisions, change plays, and I think that'll be one of the things we have to watch, especially early in the season. How much latitude will he have? He should have a lot of latitude because he is who he is.
Next.
All right, here's Jeff to introduce what's next.
What's it been like working with Aaron?
Yeah, it's been awesome, and I've known him for a few years. Every quarterback I had is different. You get to learn, you know, how they see the game. Obviously, he's got a lot of history and been in a lot of situations. Or even now, when I talk to defensive guys, I'm always trying to pick people's brains and things. So it's been fun just talking philosophies or just, you know, situations that have come up throughout his career, things I've been involved in, things that neither one of us are involved in that went around the league or before us. He's extremely intelligent. And the biggest thing is understanding how he sees the game. And as we, you know, you morph, and I've done this for every quarterback, you try to play to their strengths, comfort zone, especially the veteran guys, get them more comfortable. You know, you may change some languages and things. I've had to do that every year. So far, it's been awesome.
Bob, how do you think that marriage turns out? Aaron and Artie.
Aaron and Artie. I would think that...
Sounds like a television show.
Those two guys, you know what they want out of each other. I think Aaron Rodgers has shown that he's more than willing to deal with, whatever he has to deal with and accept it because it is his final year. He seems more at ease. And I think because of that, he's not going to have the edge that he's had at certain other teams, especially when he doesn't have his own sort of handpicked coordinator. He seems to hit it off well. That's early in the process. We'll see as we go along. But they better get a good run game going to give him more options. They didn't do that last year. And Russell Wilson and Jalen Justin Fields paid the price for that, I think. So run game is going to be a big thing. I think all these teams that do well in the NFL have good run games, and you better have one especially with a guy who's going to be 42, a quarterback.
Well, the guy conducting that interview, Jeff Hathorn, is going to join us at about 1:40 or so, the final segment of the show, and he can tell us how he went, what he gleaned, to borrow a word from Limits, what he gleaned from that interview.
How about those Cleveland quarterbacks? You think they're having
fun? Another.
Did you see that?
They're going to.
What is happening?
They got six of them now, counting Deshaun Watson, who's getting paid, but he's not playing.
Flacco is number one on the depth chart.
Is that surprising to you? It is to me.
No, not at this point. Pickett is hurt. Dylan Gabriel has a groin injury. Shador sat out yesterday with a sore arm, so they bring in, is it Tyler Huntley?
Tyler Huntley.
He's back, the Pro Bowler.
This is one of the most amazing quarterback situations in the history of the league. I mean, it is incredible.
I think they need another.
And it's all pointed toward Flacco, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he's younger than Rodgers. If you believe in last year, it was Joe Flacco who beat the Steelers. Can he get it done? Sure. Maybe he starts the season, but he's not going to be the guy at the end of the season. So if I had to give you the choice of who it would be at the end of the season, who will it be? It's not going to be him all year. I just can't see that happening.
The guy that stands out because he's the guy that nobody talks about is Dylan Gabriel. They expended a fairly high draft pick on him. They must like him a lot. I think by the end of the year, it's going to be Dylan Gabriel.
He's got the most throws in their preseason so far. He's out there a lot. So for that, you know, they certainly like him more than they like Shedeur Sanders based on how the whole thing came to be and the reaction and during draft night. But I, you know.
RG3 says Shedeur is being set up to fail in Cleveland.
Set up by having two speeding tickets driving 100 miles an hour?
At least they drafted him and are giving him a chance. I mean, what? They're the ones who brought him into camp.
They're the only ones that wanted to draft him.
Well, what does he want them to do?
Him?
Take him in the sixth round and then have him get all the reps and be number one on the depth chart? What
Listen,
is he talking
there's
about?
There's a reason why he fell all the way to where he fell. And, you know, RG3 can say whatever he wants to say, but he's defending someone that, quite frankly, shouldn't be defended. If he were that good, somebody would have taken him. Nobody took him. He was a
maybe
product.
He'll prove everybody wrong.
Maybe.
You know, maybe eventually he'll get a chance. At least they took him. What a strange thing to say.
They took him. You could tell, though, that they weren't all that excited when they took him.
No, it didn't exactly light up the draft.
Especially since he came right after Dylan Gabriel.
But don't worry. It wasn't the owner that picked him, Bob. It was all Andrew Berry.
He made sure that was clear.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Sunny today and a high of 84. Who are we going with today, Bob?
Cordero
Patterson.
We're going to get Patterson back in here. He's back on the minds of Pittsburghers.